In the mornings, I like to get a little exercise. And before I go out, I always look at the readings. In fact, usually the night before, look at the readings of the day so I know what the theme of the liturgy is. So I already knew that the topic of today's gospel was going to be about not worrying about food and about clothing. So I went out, walked out this door, walked this way, right next door here, the house next door, I saw the maintenance man of the house throwing away pieces of wood from the house, all riddled with termites. And I said, oh, I asked the man, oh, my anay ba kayo? Sabi niya, opo. So I said, oh, well, if you have termites and your house is right next to ours, that means we could have termites. He said, no, we had it exterminated. That was the whole conversation. And so I kept walking, and so my mind started to race because, you know, we've had termites here. This, here in the sanctuary, this used to be wood. The ceiling used to be wood. And in the sacristy, the floor used to be wood, but we've had infestations of termites. And I know from the exterminators that the issue is not simply to kill the termites, but to find the queen, because the queen could be half a block away. Or at least more than one block away. So if the queen is still alive, termites can easily come back. So I'm about maybe, speaking about a half a block away, I'm about a half a block away, and I realize, wait a minute now, I'm falling into the very trap that Jesus is talking about in this gospel. Worrying about termites, worrying about the wood in the house, worrying about the exterminator, worrying about what the neighbors... I said, it's exactly what Jesus is talking about. I started to think about all the things that could go wrong. Okay, so I'm not the only one who does that. I'm sure that other people hear about that news or experience some setback, and then in your minds, a whole series of possible bad things can take over. Flooding the brain with worries. So, don't worry, Jesus says, don't worry. And it's a very appealing message, don't worry. Even in the world, people say, don't worry, right? Don't worry, be happy. No one likes to worry. And no one thinks it's a good thing to be overcome with worry. But even though people might say it's not a good thing to worry, we do it all the time. And we need more than simply to be told, don't worry, or the more popular expression for it now is anxiety. Anxiety is one of the dominant conditions of the modern age, anxiety. And we can't simply say, well, don't have anxiety. The culture itself seems to foster a kind of anxiety. Worry about what's going to happen because we're exposed to bad news all the time. I read just earlier this week about some of the victims of last week's earthquake. So the earthquake is almost 2 weeks ago. But some of the victims are still, or at least as when I read that article, still afraid to sleep at night in their homes. Because maybe there will be another one. And you can understand that. I mean, if you're in your house and it starts to shake violently, you say, well, no, I could be trapped in here. Now, in the first 24 hours or 48 hours after an earthquake, it's true, the aftershocks can be strong. Sometimes the aftershocks are as strong as the original quakes. But usually, after that, there's very little danger because the buildings that couldn't withstand the quake have already collapsed. And if your house is still standing or your building is still standing, it's pretty unlikely that a week later or 2 weeks later, it's going to be destroyed by an earthquake. Very unlikely. But you can understand the anxiety because the experience makes you think, well, if it happened once, it could happen again. Then there's the effect of advertising that I don't have what I should have. I don't have what I need. Now, with advertising, what is planted in our minds is things that we didn't need in the first place and never even thought about them. But all of a sudden, now we know this is the way it's supposed to look, or this is what we're supposed to have, and that can create anxiety. Another anxiety that's generated purely by the social media is what they call FOMO. FOMO, you heard that acronym? Fear of missing out. I never heard anyone say it, so maybe I'm mispronouncing it, but it's capital letters, F-O-M-O, fear of missing out. Well, that's a kind of anxiety, that maybe something will happen and I won't know about it, or maybe something will happen and I won't be there, or maybe some event or some famous person or some sports event or something, I don't know, a concert, and I won't be there. And that, even though it hasn't happened, and it doesn't have to happen, it fills us with anxiety, FOMO. Well, Jesus here is very direct in saying, do not worry about your life. Do not worry about what you eat and drink. Do not worry about your body, about what you're going to wear. He doesn't mean that we should be so detached from the needs of our body that we don't think about them or care about them at all. He's not advising us to be neglectful of our bodies. And he's not telling us to be like the Buddhists or I don't know what other religions where their goal is complete detachment. He even says, a little further down here, near the end of this gospel, your Heavenly Father knows that you need them all. We do need food. We do need drink, we do need clothing, we do need homes. Yes, that's part of being human. So it's not wrong to take care of, in fact, it's right. We're supposed to take care of our bodies, feed ourselves and feed our loved ones properly, clothe ourselves and clothe our loved ones properly. So he's not saying don't think about those things or don't care about them. He's saying don't make those things more important than God. Don't make them more important than the kingdom of God. Seek first the kingdom of God. Now this is the wisdom of this. He's not simply saying, don't worry. Everybody says that. In fact, there's a kind of phenomenon in our times where people who look like they're not worried are held up as examples. So the person who can coolly walk through life, look like he or she is never flustered by anything. Well, that's the goal, as if it's possible to simply be nonchalant all the time. That's not what Jesus is saying. He's saying, put your trust in God. He's not saying don't worry. He's saying don't worry because your Heavenly Father takes care of you. That's a different thing. We still have to work. We still have to clothe ourselves and feed ourselves and our loved ones. But we don't have to act as if God didn't exist or if no one is taking care of us. That's where worry comes from. No, we trust that our Heavenly Father is looking out for us. And you see Jesus' examples. If we're talking about food, he says, well, look at birds. How do they eat? If we're thinking about clothing, he says, well, look at flowers. How do they get dressed? Natural phenomena, which we see every day. Do we want to live like birds and like flowers? No. No, because we have higher standards than the birds have. And we have more responsibilities than the flowers have. But the principle is, they depend entirely on God, and so do we. So to forget that we belong to God, is the root of worry. Let's take a little particular example from today's first reading. Here's another one of the stories from the Old Testament kings. This time, King Joash. We actually encountered him yesterday. In yesterday's gospel, King Joash was a baby, basically, when evil Athaliah decided to wipe out the whole family of the king, all of Joash's brothers. And so they all killed except for Joash. He was saved. And he was hidden away in the temple for 6 years or 7 years, I can't remember, but he's a little boy. until finally the holy priest, Jehoiada, reveals that the king's son is actually alive, and here he is. That was yesterday's reading. Remember, Athaliah gets taken out and executed. So Joash becomes the king, and he has the guidance of this priest, Jehoiada. And as long as Jehoiada is guiding him, Joash is a good king. For years, he's a good king because he's trusting in the Lord. Now, maybe he was putting too much of his trust in the priest and not in the Lord, because this, after the priest died, Joash, it seems, was left without knowing how to trust in the Lord, and he started to put his trust in his advisors, the princes, or his friends, human influences, and they influenced him to put trust in the idols of the local religions and to forsake the covenant. So Joash, who was raised in the faith, who was protected by God from his earliest years, who was guided by the covenant, in his mature years, lost it. Now, what happened? We don't know exactly, but he evidently gave in to worry. He no longer was willing to put his trust in God. And it seems that it was the death of Jehoiada that was the turning point. He could no longer trust in God because God's protector was no longer with him. So if Jehoiada is dead, that means God is no longer looking over him. Bad conclusion, King Joash. But that's what he did. And so he forsook the Lord, he abandoned the Lord, and he found himself abandoned by God. Now, God never abandons anyone, but he does allow us to experience the results of the consequences of our own poor decisions. If we run away from God, well, then we create the distance. That's what poor King Joash did, until he went so far as to kill Jehoiada's son, Zechariah, to have him killed, to silence the voice of the prophet, to silence the conscience. You see what happens when we're not putting our trust in God? This is just one example, but we could multiply these examples 1,000 times. There's so many other things we turn to if we don't trust in God. If we don't trust in God, we're going to look for security in something. In money, in activities, in favor of others, popularity, in success. Something. Because we're insecure. And we start to worry. And we don't like that feeling of worry. So we'll start to seek security in something else, which never works. Jesus starts out by saying, you cannot serve two masters. You can't put your trust in God and in something else. If you don't put your trust in God, you're going to put your trust in something else and it won't work. It actually gives greater reason for worry. Because if we put our trust in something that won't last, money, popularity, good health, or whatever it is, deep down we know this won't last. What does last is the love of God, the care of God, the fatherly concern of God for us, his children. That is a secure basis for life. That's the only good reason for not worrying. So let's take the simple but challenging wisdom of this reading, of this gospel, and not worry. We don't have to worry about tomorrow. We have to take responsibility. Yes, we're not being reckless here or foolish. We have to do our part, but without anxiety. We have to take good care of ourselves, of our loved ones, of our resources. But we don't have to worry about tomorrow. Tomorrow will take care of itself, he says. We might not even be alive tomorrow or the next day. That's the reality of it. Jesus says, sufficient for a day is its own evil, meaning There's plenty to be concerned about now, and don't worry about tomorrow. So let's take the wisdom of that and live at peace, not irresponsibly, but at peace, because we're under the care of God.